June 24th, 2020 regular meeting of the Kingston Port Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. So we have a meeting agenda that's been put together and I think just revised here recently. And I'll call the meeting to order. Shall we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? And I will see if I can get the flag back there. Okay, there we go. And everybody ready?
Ready.
I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Good job. Okay. So we've got the next item, approval of agenda.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll second that motion to approve the agenda.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Thank you. Public comment. We have a public here. does our public person wish to make any comment this time or? We have one more comment period later on.
No, thank you. I'm just the peanut gallery. But thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. I'm glad you've attended. Thank you, Rebecca. Okay, we're going off to the consent agenda. We've got the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be acted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. So on to the next page.
Together.
We've got five separate consent agenda items. And I entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda items.
I move that we approve the five consent agenda items as presented.
I second.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. Very good. Thank you so much. Okay, and now off to the financial report. And I've got that before me here. Here we go. And I did have a chance to peruse it, and I thought it looked really good. Wendy, do you want to go over that with us?
Sure. Are you looking at the May, or are you looking at the year to date?
I started looking at May profit and loss, and
okay.
And then the profit and loss from January through May.
Okay, so the year to date one.
Yeah.
Do you want me to? I'm so sorry.
To put that on the screen.
Yep. But which one do you want me to put on first?
Oh yeah.
Do you want to start with the April or?
Do you have that to put up, Tara?
Yeah. Can you see it now or?
Oh, lovely. April. Thank you. Tara, the April report I gave to you last year, and then Laura quizzed me about the large amount in one of the areas, and I promised a new report, so here it is.
Oh, thank you. Good.
Thank you.
And I believe that was under garbage.
Utilities?
Maybe? Yeah.
Utilities.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Wasn't it the water bill?
Yeah,
it was the water bill.
Water, and it was entered as 10,000 instead of 1,000.
Yeah, I think it was right. Yeah.
So that's why you've got this April report.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then I don't know who brought up, oh, here's.
You're going to look at
me. I don't know who brought up this. Do you mind bringing up the year-to-date one or the May one?
It doesn't matter. I'll put both of them. So
thank you.
Here's year-to-date.
So, I think for the year, it looks pretty good, you know, to date.
Yeah, I was actually very pleased by that, thinking, you know, we almost had 3 months of, you know, COVID time or whatever, but it's actually pretty not bad.
Right, and, you know, going back to May that you don't see, but I was looking at the reports for May, and I thought that May looked, you know, it's about half of what we did last year, but still not too terribly.
Yeah.
For things are going. And the thing is that our moorage is staying consistent because people, you know, we're billing and they're paying as we go along. So, and that was one of the good reasons why we changed to that accrual, is that we can see what we're billing monthly versus how we're being paid.
Yes. Right.
So this is giving us a great picture of that and keeping our billings consistent.
Good.
And of course our expenses are down too for, you know, our utilities are down because we're not using, you know, they're not reading our water meters. They're just guessing. So it's a basic charge. And because our staff isn't in, they're not really ordering things. So that was kind of a general picture. A bond payment was made on June 4th. So we have one more this year in December. And before the month ends, we'll make a transfer to the reserve or savings account that we do quarterly. Uh-huh. And that's $52,500.
Right, and I saw that come through the other day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, honestly, there's nothing big jumping out that says, hey, we need to look at this.
Right.
Greg, did you see anything?
I think, you know, obviously, both our revenue and expense are lower for the second quarter. The first quarter we had was pretty decent. And then you started really seeing the effect actually on variable revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But our expenses also dropped as a result of the pandemic. So everything kind of dropped down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were slated to do $500,000. I just out of curiosity, we ran this January through today, you know, through June. And then when they open it back up, and we just started, you know, thanks to Ray and his staff and their efforts, they just started to open up the guest dock to be able to entertain more business. I think we have another $85,000 in net ordinary income year to date if you went as of today. So you'll see, like, there'll be an uptick if we can open up the business, and then, you know, it'll get us back on track, you know, closer to, you know, I don't expect we're going to hit our numbers this year where we had hoped, but, you know, in a 100-year event, you know, I think we're way better off than many, many, many businesses. And there's some things that we've done, I think, that helped us become a little bit more not recession proof, but we are in a recession. So, but in a sense, a recession proof, or just more resilient in when you get these major economic, you know, shifts that occur. That's not to say it didn't hurt us. You know, the lack of parking and Kitsap Transit's really taken a big hit, I think. You know, WashDOT, they pay their lease, but, you know, we don't get any variable revenue out of that, but they're way down. So, but that sometimes affects our parking a little bit too, because people that are commuting via the state ferry, you know, there's a lot of people just not commuting. You know, it was really a ghost town here. You didn't see people coming through here for a couple of months now. But as soon as it's kind of just opened up a little bit, you know, Ray, I'll let him, I don't want to steal his thunder, but, you know, as usual, those guys are really going out. I mean, we get so little in taxes, we really need the revenue, we need the business. And of course, our, like I said, our revenue and expenses kind of both drop down. talked to Wendy earlier, we went in and took a look at the our reserves, and our reserves are just kind of hanging at about $1.8 million. And we did make a bond payment, like Wendy said, so that's like a $43,000 payment approximately, Wendy?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So then, you know, the remaining bond balance is around, if I read it correctly, it's $50,000. So our net cash, if we were to pay the bond off, we would have almost $950,000. If we just paid the whole bond and what we have for cash in the bank, no matter what. So from the end of 2018 to now, you know, we went from 106,000 in the negative here to pay the bond off to now we're at positive 950,000 almost. So within the 2 year span here from, or a year and a half span. So I think that's just a, you know, a testimony to the staff doing such a great job, especially Ray's team and Ray himself, really. I mean, Ray, we should call him Rainmaker. Rainmaker. He really has done an amazing job of being able to bring in business. And that's pretty unusual. You know, I actually didn't know what to think because Ray and I never worked together. And I kind of knew Ray, but not really. I knew him more by reputation. And pretty amazing job, actually, you know, to be able to bring in business and then retain business. And, you know, he was such a great experience. Hey, Ray, you want to talk about what you've been doing now since it's just we got into phase two with the mortgage and your staff?
Yeah, we have. Hello, commissioners. How are you?
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Ray.
Hello, Rebecca. We'll have to talk someday. But anyway, Tara, nice to see you. And Wendy.
Hi, Ray.
Commissioners, we've been doing well. We got a whole big wait list, not just for the permanent mortgage, but we got people wanting to come to the Port of Kingston. I'm probably taking 20, 30 calls a day from people wanting to get into the marina for long periods of time. They really like the direction that we're going in and the service that we provide. And I can't thank my staff enough. I can't thank you guys enough for supporting us like we do. And Greg's always got my back. So having that in mind, there's so many entities. If we could just get more things opened up and still stay safe, I think that our revenue would go up. And like Greg has said, the parking, unfortunately, it is what it is. They said 40% of Kitsap Transit's daily runs are down, and just from people being able to work at home. And so that does affect us. So does Washington State Ferry. But Washington State Ferry, though, they're starting to pick up a little bit from what I understand. But we had a really nice time this weekend with the Ranger tugs with brand new boats. We probably had about $25 million worth of boats in our marina this past weekend, and it was certainly a lot of fun. And I think we put on a good enough show with what little resources we had. And I think we gave them what they wanted. And I'd just like to reach out to my staff because Faith did a wonderful job getting them in, and all the staff really entertained them. We kept them happy. So I want to thank my staff for that. But it comes from the support, like I says, you know, shoot, all the calls. And I want to thank Tara too, because she's really been keeping up on top of this COVID thing on our websites and helping us out, you know, stay true to what Governor Inslee wants. I do know on Friday that we'll all have to mask up for sure. So there's no wavering away from that, no matter what. But I'm pretty excited. This Ranger Tug group that came in, we had 26 boats, and we put on such a good show that they want to come back with 40 or 50 boats in September. So Greg and I are going to sit down and see how we can make it happen. With staff, though, it's probably going to, you know, everybody's going to give us their input, but eventually we're going to try to figure out if we can do something special for them, depending on where we are with the COVID in September. So they're coming a lot. And it's really fun for me because of the look and the thing. These people were just genuine. I mean, they were just genuine people that I just loved, even though they got million dollar boats. You know, they didn't think of us as anybody but this on the same level. So going away with that, I just can't thank enough. We had all these yacht clubs that we had booked out for the year, and right now most of them are calling us back, wanting to come back. And so they were really receptive of us in being in phase two. I'm not sure, unless Tara tells me, if something happens with phase three, if we can do more for these people in phase two, that these people are just wonderful and everybody's being really receptive of our restrictions. So anyway, we're going good and with Greg's guidance and everything and pointing me in the right direction to try to make more revenue, but we should do okay. You know, we'll make it through this year, guaranteed. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
So thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Ray. In regards to the financial reports, Wendy, could I make a request that on our next one that maybe we could see a comparison between June 30th of this year compared to June 30th last year?
Yes, happy to.
I was just thinking that, Laura. Yeah.
Happy to do that, yes.
Yeah, and that'd be great.
And I can do that for May now, and email it out, no problem.
Thank you. That would be great.
That's easy. And there was one other thing that I wanted to point out on this report that I think is actually kind of pretty important. If you're looking down at this report at the very bottom and it says a negative $100,000.
Yeah.
I want you to take your eyes up a little bit higher and see the positive $115,000.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, right there, yes. Tara's highlighting it for me. Thank you, Tara. Mm-hmm. So that $215,000 is depreciation, and it gives you a little bit of a funny feeling because it's not really money that's leaving our account. It's accounting money.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we have to show it, but it's not really money we're spending or we've lost anywhere or that it just has to go on our books.
Yeah.
So technically we're kind of in the positive here.
<You're> right.
Good point.
That's great. Thank you.
It because we're not spending it, we're not sending out cash for it. It's just a thing that we have to do.
Right.
Okay. So I just wanted to point that out because I think the 115 looks pretty good.
It is pretty good.
For what's been going on.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's phenomenal. Here, I just happen to have, I accidentally ran the wrong report. I ran the 19 report.
Oh.
Year to date, it wasn't January through May. I don't know if you can see that number.
No, I can't see it.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Last year, year to date through June 23rd, it was $182,674 on an accrual basis of net ordinary income.
Yeah.
Year to date, this will be different than the 115 you're seeing. It's $201,637. Okay, on an accrual basis as well. So 2020, we're actually slightly up over last year, but that's why I'm saying Ray and his staff did make up some ground as soon as it started to open. And they, for example, closing the Ranger deal and with Faith, they had already done so much homework and groundwork with people that the reason why they've been 20, 30 calls in part is because they did all of this work a long time ago. And so now you're seeing it bear fruit. So they have this pent-up demand. Then you later on that they come in and they have a super experience and they want to come back again already in September, which is when we usually start to really taper off pretty rapidly. And so that's how you extend the shoulder seasons, extend the business cycle for us, and that's how we're going to have a strong, I hope, second half of the year, I hope.
Yeah.
I think as things open up, but that's all that due diligence and work that they've been doing for the past year, even a year ago, to sow the seeds, right? You plant the seeds and they've been watering them, and it's awesome.
Very good. That's great. Any other questions on the financial report items? Okay, well, here's our next public comment component. Rebecca, anything for us?
Not even 15 minutes.
Hearing none.
My 19-month-old grandson might make a public comment.
Oh. Oh my God.
That's cute.
What a cutie. Very good. Well, we're on now to the next part of the meeting, the commissioner reports.
I'll let Ms. McClure go first.
Okay, very good. Mary?
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Grunwald. I really have two things that I wanted to comment about. One is that I'm really looking forward to a meeting on Friday, which is the key jurisdictions involved in the whole Lindbaugh and 104 construction projects. And the point of this meeting on Friday is to really have some serious conversation about phasing. Because I think what we heard from in relationship to the realignment project is that it didn't get funded because it couldn't be phased. And in fact, it can't be phased. And Lindbaugh can. And so we're going to really start digging into how that can happen with some of the other partner jurisdictions. And then we'll move from there within a pretty short period of time to present to the Kingston community, including legislators all the way down to stakeholder groups, and by stakeholder that's generic, all the people that are paying attention to transportation. So that's a good thing. We're getting there. I don't know what there is yet, but we are. And the other thing is that I've been participating in the July 4th committee planning that the flipped parade route. Are you familiar with what I'm, Laurie? Do you know what this is? Okay. And there is such a positive attitude about how do we make this a worthwhile, fun thing for the community so we don't forget about a really special thing that we all do together. One of the things that I need to come and probably talk with Greg about, but I wanted you to be aware of, is that the Yacht Club is working hard to proceed with their usual hot dogs, free hot dogs for kids. And what they're planning to do is to bring the hot dogs to the cars. And they're working through how they can do it very rapidly without people having to park for a long time. But there was some initial conversation about parking, reserving some portion of the overall parking lot. And I suggested that maybe they could use the Yacht Club's set-aside parking, which is directly across the street from them. It's close, they have it, with the idea that we don't really know what it's gonna be like on the 4th of July. There'll still be some fishing opening, we just don't know. And so I wanted to ask us all to take, especially Greg and Ray, but to take some, give some thought to how we can accommodate what they're trying to do there, given that there may not be a spot that we can set aside within the rest of the parking lot. Uh-huh. And if we could come up with some feedback for them in the remainder of this week, it would probably be really helpful. And we're just continuing to keep going for it. So those were the two things I wanted to comment about.
Oh, can I ask you a question about that, Mary?
Sure.
So my understanding was that they weren't going to allow people to like do candy or anything like that. So how does that work with the hot dogs?
Well, that's a question. I have brought up that it's really important that we be, you know, this is one of the things I talk about all the time, the importance of consistency.
Right.
And people not having special handling of people. And that will be a topic of further conversation and as we go forward, because there are a couple of people that there is some, well, they always do this, so let's help them do that. And I think that will be really undermine the everybody's, nobody gets to do it the way they used to. And that's a really important point, Laura, not just in terms of the canned meat versus hot dogs, but also special treatment.
That's a hard one, but yeah, I hope they figure it out, and you know, I hope they figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and give my update.
Laura, thank you.
I look forward to attending. I did attend with Mary and Steve via Zoom, the TransPaul meeting.
Yeah.
And the point that I, which I have, was talking to Greg about it today, that I really wanted to bring up, that I really do hope that they seriously think about it. And Mary will probably be able to remember who actually suggested it, because I can't remember who actually suggested it. But the possibility of maybe staggering the who gets, so that maybe a bigger project would be able to receive funding like every other year. Or do you remember who brought that up, Mary?
Well, I know that several people are talking about it on the side, and there is was a lot of dissatisfaction with the fact that the 104 realignment and Kitsap projects didn't do well in the regional competition.
Right.
And so they're undertaking TransPaul, starting with the TransTAC, which is the Technical Advisory Committee, all their staff, to figure out what are the possibilities for changing how that whole competition works, so that there's more, predictability, project planning, and that a large project can be done. There are all sorts of complexities with that. And I think they're going to basically spend the whole rest of the summer and autumn talking about, I'm sorry, I keep turning around to see what he's grabbing now.
I just think that that is, I personally thought that was a really great suggestion, because it wouldn't put the burden every year, you know, every year on these larger projects getting absolutely nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
And as we know, the 104 realignment is not something that can be phased in.
Right.
It seems totally impossible to do that, as disappointing as it is. But I think that's just a great suggestion. I really hope that it, that they come to more of a decision about it and get it seriously. That was my big takeaway from that meeting, that I really thought, wow, that's an opportunity, not just for the 104 realignment, but for other projects that are larger projects that did rate high but did not receive any funding.
I think one comment about that is that in order to do that, they will have to change other expectations and rules, because a big one is the whole question of whether or not you can use the federal funds for first dollar or whether they're final dollar. And they've typically been used for first dollar, and then you go looking for additional funding to finish out a project. But that has been the thing that has, when projects haven't been able to be obligated and happen, it's because of other funding not coming through. And then that puts everybody in a difficult spot. They have to reallocate and that sort of thing. Of course, on the other hand, if right now the 104 realignment is pretty much at the top of the contingency list in case somebody does.
And it is.
Yeah. And so that probably, that kind of thing, there'd be less likelihood of contingency projects moving forward if you had to be solid, more solid about your funding sources. So it'll be an interesting conversation. I'm sure we'll come back. Laura and I will come back from those meetings and lay out where we are and talk through how we think it could affect us.
Thank you, Mary, for filling in. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and also I appreciate, Mary, you filling in my alpaca, my surprise alpaca shearing day for the flank ball meeting. Hitting that was very good.
Well,
Laura,
the comment about that is that I'm feeling more able to focus and concentrate now than I was 2 months ago. So it feels good to be able to use what I'm aware of.
That's good. Well, I'll piggyback on that Transpol comment, and really enjoy that. I'd like to make an observation that I think one of the problems that our invite, if you will, and our position in Transpol has been that we really came kind of late, and many of the decisions about the funding had already been made prior to us joining. So I don't think we really stood a good chance of that funding. And also, I think some of the other projects had a little more traction, I think, this year as well. So I think that it was kind of difficult because we came on and then all of a sudden, you know, there was the COVID stuff and all that happening. I think it was Becky at Port Orchard that had talked about this alternating funding component that was her suggestion, and they were going to look into that a little bit further. It seems like it's something that the Puget Sound Regional Council uses more as a framework than KRCC does. The only thing I can add that, and again, I apologize for the KCAC meeting this month because I forgot to give the Zoom agenda and info to Tara until it was too late. And then halfway through the meeting, I saw an email and it's like, oh, Laura wanted to come. So my apologies. But the KCAC meeting, really only a couple things related to the port happened. As you know, Mark Libby we have a standing subcommittee. That's the transportation group from the Kingston Citizen Advisory Committee Council. And those particular meetings, there's been quite a few that have happened. And I was really pleased to see an email just today from Mark that it looks like the county is actually taking quite seriously the idea of the Barber Cutoff Road Safe Routes to School grant. And so they're looking at that pretty seriously. And so then I think that Kitsap County Roads Division is actually grabbing that and taking that forth. And so I'm hopeful for that, because that grant it does not require match, and they can totally fund the entire project. And, you know, whether or not it'll be competitive this year, you know, I'm not really sure, but I was very pleased to see the efforts that we've made, and been very appreciative as well of Greg Syok being involved too, because he used to run that. He ran the TIP project, and having projects on the TIP project is absolutely crucial to having them successfully go through. Let's see, anything else? I I can't think of anything else that's really pressing at this point that I've been involved with. There's been a lot of stuff going on, lots of meetings. Anything further for the good of the order and commissioner reports?
No.
No.
All right. What did he say?
I said no.
I think your grandson said something else.
Yes, I did. Yes, he did.
Okay, let's move on then to staff reports. Okay, Frank, you want to start?
Hey. Ray, do you want to go?
Who wants to start?
I'll go quick.
Okay, Ray.
Sorry about that. I was just going to reach in and tell Mary I spoke with the Commodore of the Yacht Club today about the 4th of July. We had a nice conversation this morning about 8:30, and I told him that we definitely would be there for him once they came up with a game plan that I'd have to share with Greg to make sure it's okay. And I told them that we would definitely be receptive of providing power from them to their parking spots over there after they come up with a game plan. But we are in full cahoots with them right now, ready to step up and help out where needed. Also, starting tomorrow, probably about 6 o'clock in the morning, the Port of Kingston is going to be probably overwhelmed with 5 to 8 different tribal. We got a tribal opener for crab for 4 days from Thursday through Sunday. So there might be, it might seem a little chaotic. I'll try to keep it under control as the best I can with my staff. They've been all calling me all day today, hoping for spots in the marina, all the different agencies, Jamestown, Lower Elwha, the Swinomish, all these guys that I became friends with over it. But I have no, unfortunately, I don't have any spots in the marina because we're already full with other people for the last 2 months, which is a good feeling. But anyway, it's going to look chaotic down there. If you don't need to be down there, don't be down there. If you want to see some fun things going on, but there's going to be a lot of crabbing going out from Apple Tree Point. They're going to be crabbing all the way up to Port Townsend, over to. I mean, it's just, they're going to be everywhere out there at least for 4 days till Sunday. So I just wanted everybody aware of that. Number two, the last thing I was going to say was is that again, I just want to thank all of you for being tremendous supporters of Greg and I and all of our staff. It's really important for us to know that. And Greg's just always, you know, been tremendous with me too. So thank you, commissioners. And that's about all I got. If you need me, I'll be there tomorrow morning at about 6 a.m. Trying to figure out what's going on. So thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Ray.
Wendy, you want to have anything?
Oh, I have just a few couple things. That was me that you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. First off, a reminder that Tara has the warrants for you all to stop by and sign. So if you could think about that in the next few days, she has them all ready to go. So that would be great if you could do
that. I have them right here.
Thank you, Steve. And I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the annual report. So it was supposed to be due on May 29th. The legislature met on May 14th at O'Dark 100 and gave an extension to, no, met on May 29th and gave an extension to June 14th. And then on June 14th, it gave an extension to July 1st. So I'm working on the annual report, having a little bit of a hard time because it's now moving to accrual and we don't have any comparisons because we've been filing as cash. So I'm wading my way through that and working on that. And if you see gray hairs, it's because of that, not my children. I can't blame them. And I did also want to say thank you to everyone also for, I know that my working from home has been a little bit hard for everyone to manage, and I really appreciate everyone being understanding and working it out with me and not giving me a hard time. So thank you so much. It really means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's all I have.
Okay.
Okay, so I will go next. This week, Greg and I were working on putting together the ALEA grant for the RCO. So the presentation, we submitted the presentation yesterday, which was a PowerPoint. I'll make sure and get that over to you guys so you can take a look at it. But that turned out pretty good. And then working on putting together a report, a flip chart for the emergency plan for staff to have. It's just kind of an at a glance if there's different kinds of emergencies. So we're getting that put together. So I'll have that for you guys soon. And then setting up all the workstations here at the port so they're Zoom ready. And that's webcams, headsets. So if you guys want to come in and use the conference room or the controller's office or this extra workstation, there's a webcam set up now for you. And then I just finished up the Phase 3 Safe Start business plan for reopening the port. So that's one of the requirements for if we do go to Phase 3, we have to have that business plan in place. And we just have to have all the staff acknowledge it and make sure we've got our housekeeping plan. And so that's all completed. A few more things to do on that, but I don't think we're going into Phase 3 quite yet. I know they've applied for it, but it sounds like it's kind of on hold at this point. So, but that's it for me the last couple weeks.
Good
Thanks,
job.
Tara. Thank you, Tara.
Really good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the ALEA grant. So what we're going to do to replace the middle bathrooms, the guest restroom facility, is we're applying for a big grant, a boating infrastructure grant, as well as an ALEA grant. And the ALEA grant is to try to provide the matching for the port's matching component for the big grant. And again, the total amount for the project is going to be just under $260,000 is what we're guessing. And Mark Horton, Washington Project Consultants, are kind of our port engineer. He's been working on this a lot, and he did quite a bit of work on the submittals to Department of Ecology. And then Tara did just an extraordinary job pulling it all together and putting together the presentation, which was due yesterday, into business, and then I'll be presenting it on Monday this coming week. And that's the grant component. And then we're finishing out the big grant, the rest of it for the big grant to complete that. You know, it's going to be a tough competition for what funds are available now, but we'll put our best foot forward. We have the money if we have to, and you know, bathrooms just don't have a lot of pizzazz for a lot of people. They're the number one amenity when they do surveys. Number two, crazily, is Wi-Fi.
But yeah.
Amenity, and I don't think of it as amenity, I think of it as like a necessity, is bathrooms. And that was from Mark Munzel. He did a study on... He visits like 400 marinas a year, and then he does a study of marinas and all the different things, and he's a consultant on redevelopment of marinas as well now. So anyway, Mark, we were talking about it, and Mark had conducted the survey and come up with that data, and it was pretty much hands down bathrooms number one. But they don't always get feel the love when you go to the state, you know, because they have so many cool projects, and they're trying to increase the overall access for people to recreate. So I totally understand that. This is, but you want to preserve the existing demand, and you know, in Kingston here, you only have really the Village Green, you have the State Ferry, and then you have our facility. That's the only place that has restrooms. And I think our restrooms receive a tremendous amount of pressure and use. And so The bathroom is hard to believe, but it's a testimony to all the staff over the decades. It's 53 years old. It's just, you know, I mean, it's gone through a couple of design lives, really. But and even more recently, we've had two pretty major failures in the bathroom. You know, maybe the last go around in RCO, we could have maybe applied and seen that too. But we're throwing our hat in the ring. We'll see how it goes. And we're looking at doing a prefab bathroom like they use at the state parks and that kind of thing. They're actually very nice. They look really great. They, you know, keep upgrading them. So, but I really do want to point out, Kara did just an amazing job pulling a lot of this information together, as did the staff. You know, Austin, he helped out on getting together some really critical stuff. So, yeah, it's all good.
Yay, thank you, Tara.
Thank you.
New bathrooms, yoo-hoo!
and the other thing we did, not that we can ever replace Wendy, because we can't, but we did tender an offer to somebody, and they've accepted, and we've done all the due diligence. So Julia Hustler, she'll be starting as controller July 6th. There'll be a little overlap with Wendy, and Wendy Forrest has always graciously said, you know, you can reach out to her if she needs anything, and that's how she's, that's her values, that's who she is. So I want to thank Wendy for everything that she's navigated us through with no real public administrative background. Pretty freaking amazing, you know, with an SAO audit and transitioning from cash to accrual. And I think now you guys are getting and going to continue to get more and more information that then you can really govern really well. And really want to thank her. And she's just a wonderful person to work with and be around. She'll be coming back to us. We'll be doing barbecues or whatever we can. And so we'll get her and get Paul, and we'll give them a couple of face masks, you know, long. Come in and join us, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So thanks, Wendy.
Greg.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm always available for a phone call or whatever you need.
Yeah, we have your number.
I know. You can use it too. I would be so happy for that.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's kind of and we're just all trying to make sure that we're aware of you know, all the safety considerations. Tara did a really amazing job. She put together that safety plan that's required by the state of Washington. Great. It's super great. It's practical. It's, you know, you can read it, you can implement it, and that's pretty critical. I've seen super elaborate plans that tend to staff. They don't know what the heck, they lose track and they don't really follow it to the letter. This is a very pretty practical plan that I appreciate, but she's hit the mark on so many different things. And so anyway, really, I just want to thank her. She's, you know, keeping things, we're organizing better and better and getting it more and more put together here. So, and I think that'll be a real luxury too, because Wendy and Ray, everybody's really kind of done that. So Julia coming in, she's kind of she's pretty lucky in a sweet spot, really. Because there's a lot of the stuff is all done. So hopefully she gets off to a good start, a pretty easy start. And I think she'll be a real addition. And thanks to Ray and those guys, they're keeping the wheels on and doing a really amazing job of it. It's amazing how responsive they are to business. You know, I know I've said that a million times, but it's so important for us, for our survival, much less be able to thrive. And, you know, even though we're not we're not a huge player, you know, if we're healthy and do well, then we can help in some small way at the county level or help with WashDOT with the work that they're going to do. I will say, WashDOT, one of the candidates, one of the people that's supposed to be involved, the Olympic Regional Program Manager, can't make it this Friday, so we're going to reschedule that. I got to send that back out to Mary to make sure she's aware of it. So that's not going to happen. And we're also meeting with the county this Friday on stormwater for this area for this this basin, and then what maybe there will be some other discussion in the area about the area. So that's it. Thanks to all of you, and thanks to Rebecca for sitting in.
Yeah.
Thanks, Greg.
Good job, everyone.
And Mary had to step out, so just in case, if you got her message, she's no longer.
Yeah, here. I saw that she had grandma okay. duty rolled in, so
good.
I think she was babysitting. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, anything else for the good of the order from staff?
I think I'm good.
I'm good. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, well, we'll move along, and I'll announce our next regular meeting. As you know, we alternate. I'm not sure if Rebecca's aware of that, but we alternate from evening meetings, as we had tonight, to afternoon meetings and switch back and forth month to month. So our next regular meeting is July 29th, 2020 at 1 p.m. And until I hear different, I'm assuming it will still be a Zoom meeting. I decided I'd like to come to the office just because I can also, you know, get warrants signed, and also we get to have the flag that we have in the background too. So, okay, well, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn at 7:26.
Very good, I'll second that. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Awesome meeting.
Thank you.
Bye,
Wendy.
Take care, I forgot.